Welcome to Dubs OT, your weekly Warriors podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring interviews with players, coaches, and media members. Dubs OT is brought to you by TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Toscalito Tire and Automotive, your one-stop, on-the-spot auto service headquarters in San Francisco and the North Bay. Terzo, an authentic, upscale European restaurant in the Cal Hollow neighborhood in San Francisco. And Rose's Cafe, a favorite local hangout also in Cal Hollow. Now here are your hosts, Ray Woodson and Joe Castellano.
Today we have a very special guest, ESPN play-by-play announcer Mike Breen will join us. But first, I want to tell you about our favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. Live in San Francisco and love to play golf? Visit TPC Harding Park and purchase your two-year resident card, giving you immediate savings on golf and other programs at the park. Cut your green fees in half by purchasing your card today. Visit www.tpc.com/Harding Park for more information. ESPN play-by-play announcer Mike Breen joined us on Monday morning. Here was that conversation. Mike, thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on Dubs OT, Warriors podcast. And I want to get your thoughts, first of all, about the championship hangover thing, because the Warriors, you know, they didn't start out too well. They were 4-3. It seems like they found their groove the last three games. And Steve Kerr, you know, talked a lot about the mental part of it. What did you see looking at the Warriors and the way they were playing here early in the season, and maybe something that's clicked in here the last few games?
Well, I think the championship hangover has been on full display, not just with Golden State a little bit, but look at what's going on with Cleveland as well. Not championship hangover, but finals hangover. You know, we always talk about every year the team that wins the title the year before. You know, are they going to have complacency? Will they lose a little bit of that hunger? And it's hard not to. And to both Golden State and Cleveland's credit, they seem to come back each of the past several years with that hunger. But it's not easy to do, especially with the kind of success Golden State has had. I mean, it's just human nature, and everybody's trying to catch you, so everybody has that hunger. They haven't tasted that championship champagne, so they want to get there. And it's just human nature to play in so many big games in May and June. Then you come back with a shortened preseason, and all of a sudden, you know, you just want to get back into it. You're looking forward to the season, and other teams have a different mindset. So I don't think it's anything to be overly concerned with, although if you're in Cleveland, you probably have a lot to be concerned with. But overall, I Golden State is fine. The way they've attacked each season after the success has been wonderful. It just shows they're a little bit more human than perhaps we're giving them credit for.
What do you think about the other teams that are going after Golden State? I mean, you know, the other teams tried to sort of build the super team, Oklahoma City and the Rockets. And do you think those other teams, do have the chance? I mean, we already saw the Rockets beating the Warriors in the opener.
Yeah, I mean, as you guys know, the regular season results don't have a heck of a lot to do with the playoffs. I mean, remember what Golden State did last year in the opener? How many did San Antonio beat them by?
29.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's not that big a deal. I mean, Golden State, they're clearly the most talented. They're so well coached. Everything just works together. And I think the most important thing is you don't really get any signs whatsoever of the disease of me with them. And to me, in many ways, outside of health, that's the number one thing that could really, you know, derail a team that has a chance to win multiple championships. Do guys all of a sudden start to get a little jealous? All right, well, he got named all NBA first team and I didn't, or he made an all-star, or he got the big contract, or he's getting four more shots than I do. I mean, that develops a lot, and there's a long history in the league of that. But there doesn't seem to be anything like that with Golden State, and it's a credit to, you know, just how much they buy into the team concept. It's a credit to the coaching staff, but it's a credit to who they are as players and their character. And to me, that's as impressive as anything. Now, with that said, the Houstons and the Oklahoma Cities, and we can never, ever count out San Antonio. We've all looked like fools in the past by doing that. You know, they've all tried to improve. They're all made, or not all, but several of them made big moves, because you never know. You never know how a season develops. If somebody goes down with an injury, or a team just, you know, they get caught up in some kind of selfish controversy or whatever. I mean, these things happen. So it's not like you can just concede the season. You look to improve. They're the team that is the standard right now, and you do your very best to chase them. And over a course of a season, you find out if you got a legitimate chance and then the opportunity in the playoffs.
As you alluded to, Mike, it's a unique group of characters as well as talents that fit. But with the luxury tax and the salary cap the way it is, what's their window? How long can they stay on top?
Well, obviously, if they stay healthy and you look at the ages, they could be the best team in the NBA easily for the next 4 or 5 years because all the players, all the key players are really in their prime. Although, quite frankly, guys like Sean Livingston and Andre Iguodala, they are so important to the success of their team, and they're getting a little bit older. But those are easier slots to fill than your all-stars. So, you know, the potential is there. Obviously, some of them are signed for a number of more years. Some just signed new deals. The way the salary cap has been fluctuating, you think you got to be creative to try and figure it out. But quite frankly, you can't really think of that. I mean, how many times have you guys seen teams, whether it's Golden State, whether it was OKC when they had Westbrook, Durant, and Harden, you know, and you think, wow, this team could win a title for the next 5 years. And things just change. It's impossible to plan and look ahead. But for the foreseeable future, I mean, it's just, they're so good and so talented and so play so well together. I don't know if I've ever seen a team outside of maybe a couple of Spurs teams that enjoy passing the ball as much as these guys do. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a joy to watch. So for now, you know, everything is great. And for Warriors fans, just enjoy it while you can and while it's there, because you just never know how long it goes.
I kind of feel like with the Warriors on top and the way they play and the stockpile of talent we have in the NBA right now, especially young talent, we're at a peak like we were in the 80s and maybe during the Jordan era. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I mean, you just look at this year's rookie class. You know, the young players today not only have the talent, but I don't know what it is. I can't figure it out, but they have a poise and maturity about them. And maybe most importantly, they have a confidence about them that they're ready to compete and beat you right now. They're not interested in, you know, in 2 or 3 years, he's going to be good. No, they want to be good right now. And I think that's really fun to watch. And, you know, sometimes they get knocked down and shown, you know, it still is a league that in most cases, the veteran teams are the teams that win titles. But there's so much unique talent right now. And here's the other thing I felt in the last 5 years or so, and obviously there are exceptions, and you guys tell me if you think differently, most of the young players today, it really is about winning. They're not as obsessed with piling up the stats. You know, Isaiah Thomas, the Hall of Famer, had a great line many years ago, and he said, young players define their games by how many points they score, and veterans define their games by how many games they win. And I think today that's changed a bit. I think young players, they just want to play on winning teams. They want to play in the big games. They want to have success. And I think that's a wonderful change for the league.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. And you look at Steph Curry, I think he was always like that from day one. And you know, he's the one guy that really still amazes me on a nightly basis, Mike. I want to know who you really look at on the Warriors and you're kind of amazed by, because I still can't believe he gets that three off so quickly. He finds ways to get it with his dribble and, of course, so accurate.
Yeah, well, he just, you know, for a guy that has achieved so much both individually and team success, in the past couple of years, he just never stops working at his game. He just always seems to have something better, you know, whether it's the handle is better, whether his floater is better, whether his range increases. There's no question his defense has gotten better. Those are the truly great players who are never satisfied with where they're at. They come back year after year, and there's a little added dimension to their game. And, you know, he's another perfect example. I mean, just think of, he's an MVP. He leads the Warriors to a title, and now, you know, a guy like Kevin Durant comes in, and he just willingly sacrifices shots status, et cetera, just because he wants to win. And that's always been his goal, as great as he is individually. He's all about doing whatever is best to win. And the other thing, and you guys know this better than anybody by watching them all the time, listen, basketball is, it's a business, and it's a serious business, and it's hard work. But I think the Warriors really have it figured out on how to have fun while they're doing it, but at the same time, staying focused on what the ultimate goal is. And I think Curry is the perfect example of that.
Mike, you know, one of the guys who's certainly a glue for the Warriors is Draymond Green. And it's funny how people regard Draymond. It's like critics will say his outbursts make him a detriment to the team, and yet you will find no more team-oriented player than Draymond. He's a winning player, and Tom Izzo was a big part of that. But it's funny, over the weekend, I guess Draymond said Tom Izzo was telling him he cries on every call. He needs to knock it off. I'm trying to think what NBA player doesn't cry anymore. We've gotten back to where everybody's complaining about calls now.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting you say that, because I've noticed the same thing. If you remember, I'm going to say 6 or 7 years ago, the league said that they were going to put a stop to the nonstop bickering, because it got really bad about 6 or 7 years ago, where every single call, and the first like 2 months of the following season, they were calling technical fouls if a guy, you know, just waved his hand at an official. And then, you know, obviously it got a little too much, but it did stop the bickering. But it's coming back again. I think there's another reason for that. I think the officiating staff is going through a, I don't want to say a rebuilding stage, but it's definitely a transition stage. In the last 5 years, they've lost something like 15 of the top officials, many of them crew chiefs. And you have a lot of young officials now who are in the league 5 years or less, 6 years or less. And it's just, they just don't have the same respect as a guy who'd been in for 25 years and had officiated 20 finals games. So I think that's part of it too. But I agree with you. I think that's something that has to change. As for Draymond, you know, what he does is so unique in the league. And again, sacrificing, he could average more points for other teams, certainly. But he knows what wins, and that's all he's concerned with, winning. You know, his antics, there's no, I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I'm sure his teammates at times are just rolling their eyes when he goes off on one of his rants and stuff. But you know what? If the bottom line, if the guy comes to play every single night and is ready to crush his opponent every night, and that's his mindset, then you deal with stuff like that. And quite frankly, that's a lot of who he is and why he has success. Does he go over the line sometimes? Absolutely. I mean, you can basically make the case that he cost them that title because of his antics. But he does it all because he just so badly wants to win. And that's why, you know, you deal with that extra stuff, because he's giving everything he has to that team. And I don't mean that by in terms of numbers. That's just in terms of effort to try and make sure they come out victorious.
Hey, Mike, before we let you go, you know, speaking of great teams like the Warriors, how about the broadcast team that you're a part of at ESPN with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson? I just think it's so much fun to watch you guys, because you're allowed to be opinionated and candid, and you're irreverent with each other. How much fun are you having? You know, how long did it take to sort of develop that rapport with those two gentlemen?
Well, I really do believe I'm the luckiest guy in the business, because I get the call, you know, these NBA games, the big games, the finals, and mainly because I get to do it with those guys. And, you know, throw Doris Burke in there as well. Doris, part of the crew that is just so much fun to be around off the air. But on the air, I think what's so appealing is that Jeff and Mark are not afraid to say what they feel. If it's, you know, a player not giving an effort, if it's an official that misapplied a rule, if it's the NBA that has some policy they disagree with, they're going to tell you how they really feel. And it's not because they want to be critical. I mean, we live in a media now that people just want to just rip people apart. They don't do it for that. They do it because they love the game so much, and they want what's best for the game, because they've all been around the game their entire lives. So I think that's what's so appealing for them. As for the chemistry factor, my first year doing the NBA was 26 years ago, and Jeff was an assistant coach and Mark was a player with the Knicks. So we've kind of all grown up together. And when you know somebody for, you know, 25 plus years, it just makes it, there's a comfort level where, you know, we can say anything to any of us and nobody's going to get annoyed or mad. We just debate it and we disagree about a lot of things and we laugh about a lot of things. So it's just, you know, three friends who are hanging out together just happen to be doing it on the air.
Yeah, as much time as you guys spend together, I guess you better like each other. I was wondering how many miles you log, and whether the Warriors with their rise, that means you're logging more miles because you have to come out to the West Coast more.
Well, it's an easy trip for Mark. He's in L.A. It's not as bad for Jeff because he's in Houston, and for me to New York, I don't mind. San Francisco is one of my favorite cities. Oracle Arena is a special place to be, and you know, obviously the team is, you know, if you love basketball, you just love how unselfish and how skilled they are. So I'm not complaining. It's been great going out there, and it looks like I know I have a lot more trips in this regular season coming out. So looking forward to that.
All right, Mike, look forward to seeing you out here. Thanks so much for the time today, and can't wait to see you again on an upcoming NBA broadcast.
My pleasure, guys. Nice being with you.
That's ESPN play-by-play announcer Mike Breen. Dubs OT continues right after this.
If you're looking for a great place to stop by for a bite to eat in San Francisco, Rose's Cafe is the place to go. A favorite in the Cow Hollow neighborhood for the past 20 years, Rose's Cafe is a hangout for locals who bask in the sun at sidewalk tables, duck inside for a cappuccino, or stay for a leisurely lunch or dinner. Many customers are regulars who frequent their pretty bistro cafe that offers table service and deliciously consistent food, Italian fare created using organic local produce, fresh seafood, humanely raised meats, and free-range poultry. Rose's artisan bakers bake a daily selection of pastries, desserts, and breads. Menu highlights include pizzas, daily soups, and house-made pastas. A robust beer and wine list with many by-the-glass options are available. So stop by Rose's Cafe at 2298 Union Street in San Francisco.
Well, that was great talking to Mike Breen from ESPN, and certainly, you know, he kind of, I guess, accentuated what we've been talking about here for the last couple of weeks about the championship hangover and all that. But, Ray, it really looks like the Warriors have righted the ship, if you will, on that road trip. I mean, they got it together. They weren't turning it over as much. They turned it up a notch on defense with that second quarter against Denver, notwithstanding. I mean, they didn't play well in that quarter, but they really recovered from that in the third quarter. And it looks like they're kind of primed to go on a run. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the season's begun for them. And just as we were talking about last week, the Clippers always get their attention. They love crushing the Clippers. Even though Chris Paul isn't there anymore, Blake Griffin still is. So they see those Clipper uniforms, and that kind of perks their ears up. And certainly the Spurs should do that as well. I think they took them, a little lightly maybe, coming out of the gate, knowing they didn't have Kawhi Leonard and Tony Parker. But they did the same thing last March. Remember that game where they fell behind 15-0 and 30-7? And they come back and win it by 12. They passed them like a traffic cone, and that's what they did the other night in San Antonio, and they did it with defense, and that's how they always go on these runs, and they know it. You know, that again, that's the dangerous part of it. They know it. You know, they're testing the limits of how far they can be down. It's almost like a little game within a game for them, but they get it done. And, I think they're going to have those lapses, those bad quarters from time to time. In the regular season, it's inevitable. It's like Mike Breen was talking about, you know, they play so many games. It's hard to lock in mentally and physically on an early November game, unless it's a certain opponent that they love to beat. You just can't do it every night, but you have so much talent that you eventually snap out of it and you get, you know, mentally involved in the game, and it, you know, has its own context, and you know, you figure it out. They didn't against Detroit. Maybe that was the little wake up call for them, and now they're rolling. And you know, I kind of look at it, and this is the nerdy sci-fi analogy here. It's like you're in the Star Trek transporter, right? And your image isn't totally filled in when you get to the new place. So we haven't seen the whole Warriors image yet, right? but there's a head missing, there's an arm missing, and oh, there it popped in. Oh, no, popped out. Oh, it's come back in. I think we've almost got the whole image now. And part of that is that you got new players mixed in, that Steve Kerr's trying to figure out the rotation. You got the rookie Jordan Bell, that he's trying to figure out how to mix him in the rotation, and he's making an impact and make a case for himself. So that's still being worked on and figured out, but I think he's getting closer to settling on that rotation.
That was a great analogy. That was very unique, Ray. you know, only
my warped mind could think of that.
I guess. You know, I was thinking about how valuable Steve Kerr is in so many ways, but one of the ways that really kind of was sticking with me was that I was listening to this soundbite from Steve talking about how when he was with the Bulls, they had won two championships in a row, and before they won the third in a row, they had a tough start. They went 8-7. They had a lot of team meetings and all that. And you think about how invaluable that experience is for Steve Kerr to go through it now, because here he is with a team that's been in the finals 3 years in a row, and everybody keeps talking about motivation. And, I mean, I don't know if there's another guy on the planet who would know how to motivate a team during the regular season better than Steve Kerr, because he's already been through this as a player.
Yeah, and sometimes fans get the wrong idea. It's like, wow, he's got to be flipping spreads now. You know, he's got to be throwing stuff against the wall. Well, sometimes he'll break a clipboard, a grease board, that's for sure. And he'll have those outbursts. What was it the other night, I think, in San Antonio, he dropped a 12-letter special. You know, he'll get salty, without a doubt. But I think knowing these guys, and especially the veteran core, he's not going to get angry about, you know, lapses in October. He's going to talk about it. They're going to point it out. And I remember a couple of games ago, and I think it was the game against Detroit where they turned the ball over 26 times, and he said, at some point, the ball has to matter. At some time, the games have to matter. And when you put it like that, without yelling, it's like, you know, guys, what are we doing here? You know, basically. And I think that's kind of the overarching thought here is, okay, we understand it's long season, you're just getting back into it, but at some point, you got to get back into it, right? So hopefully that Detroit game was kind of the last drop with them, and they'll get on a nice little run now. But, you know, that's the genius of coaching for the people at the top who have been at the top, whether it's Bochy, whether it's Popovich, whomever. It's just knowing how to push those buttons.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation in just a moment, but first, let's hear from Warriors head coach Steve Kerr before the Monday game against the Miami Heat.
We can continue to tinker. We're fortunate to have the talent that we do, so that we, like the other night was a perfect example. You know, we were up 13 at the quarter, I think, and immediately gave up a 15-0 run. And it wasn't really a disaster. Like it looked like it on paper, but, you know, watching on tape, we missed four or five very makeable shots, got beat a couple times in transition. Like, okay, we'll regroup, and we've got the talent to be able to regroup. So I have no problem weathering some storms as we continue to look for combinations that make sense and work, and we'll figure it out. And obviously, by the time the end of the season comes around, the playoffs are here, we'll have a much better sense of who we are and what we're working with.
That's Warriors head coach Steve Kerr. More Dubs OT right after this.
Are you looking for a great place for dinner? Then you really need to try Terzo, an authentic, upscale European neighborhood restaurant in the heart of Cow Hollow in San Francisco. When you sit down at your table at Terzo, you will feel the warm and welcoming ambiance. They make you feel like you're at home with great service and a delicious meal. Serving dinner only, Terzo offers unique food drawn from the Mediterranean region. They change their menu daily based on the local availability of product. Open 7 days a week, Terzo suggests reservations, but they do have a bar area available for walk-ins. Check out their website at terzosf.com for daily menus and hours. Drop by Terzo at 3011 Steiner at Union Street in San Francisco for an exceptional neighborhood dining experience and your private dining needs.
You know, you touched on some of the bench players, and Steve Kerr was playing a lot of different players in that game in Denver. And I think Steve is still trying to find his way through, you know, when do I play certain players? When do I sit down a player? I know that he sort of feels more comfortable to play a guy, you know, a lot more minutes in one game and maybe just sit another guy down completely, because he'd rather have maybe a Nick Young get his rhythm shooting in a game, and then maybe, you know, another game he won't play at all, and then Patrick McCall will get the minutes. You know, what do you think so far about the way the Warriors are, you know, running the rotation and just the minutes that they're getting?
Well, it's experimentation, without a doubt, and it's also trying to keep players involved. You don't want them to tune out. You're going to need them some point later on in the season, given the nature of injuries. I mean, you can never have too much depth, I guess. The point you have too much depth, and that's a happy problem to have, Some guys may be left out, and you don't want to do that. So that's kind of the balance he's trying to strike right now. The other part of it is, you know, how he rotates his starting players, because now he's got Steph and KD playing together, and he knows that KD likes to play an entire quarter, likes to get that rhythm for an entire quarter. Well, we saw what happened in the third quarter against San Antonio. He went nuclear. So, you know, that combo together is lethal. And so it's kind of hard to break that up. And then the second and fourth quarter units ideally would be Draymond and Clay together. So you have that great defensive presence, but you also have some scoring power with Clay. He can get that mid-range jumper just about any time he needs to, and of course can knock down threes as well. So everything kind of fans out from that, you know. And then you've got the rookie Jordan Bell coming in, making a case for himself. He sat for a couple games, and he's come back, and he's playing like he doesn't want to get sat down again, you know. And Nick Young has looked lost. I think that's the one little issue for them. He came back and played pretty well against Denver. I think they really, really, really wanted to blow out Denver so that they wouldn't be sucking wind in the fourth quarter at the mile-high altitude, and so they could work in these guys and see if they could get their rhythm going, guys like McCaw, guys like Nick Young. And Curry said it, right, that right now McCaw is ahead of Young in the backup guard rotation, which could change down the road. But that's the sort of the competition within the competition for the Warriors, too, is minutes. But I think Mike Breen brought up a great point. You have not seen any of these players given to the disease of me that Pat Riley has talked about when a team becomes successful. You don't see those signs on this team, not even Nick Young yet. And, you know, he should be on his best behavior, minding his P's and Q's with a new team, a championship team. So I hope Nick Young finds it. You know, he can be very streaky. We know that. But he's going to be an important piece coming off the bench, providing additional firepower. He's just not the same player that Ian Clark is.
Yeah, and it is funny when you join a new team like that how difficult that could be, because if he's jacking up a three and he's guarded and he misses, everybody's going, oh, why is he taking that shot? But Steph Curry can get away with that because he's got so much credibility built up, you know, a lot of equity there. So I think it is difficult for Young because, you know, he can't hesitate to take those shots, but at the same time, he's going to get criticism.
That's his game, right? That's why they brought him here, to do exactly that. And, so people are going to criticize it because they're not used to seeing that from Young, and they don't consider him to have the same credentials as Steph, and he doesn't. But that is his game, and he can get on a heater. We saw that opening night, right? So,
yeah.
You know, he's just a different kind of player than Ian Clark. Clark is, you know, more about cutting. You know, neither are great defensive players, but Clark definitely stepped up his effort, and Young is going to have to do that as well. But in fairness to Young, as Kerr pointed out, McCaw is ahead of him. One of the reasons is because he's been in the system for a year now and understands a little bit more where he needs to be. Young is still trying to find that out. You know, there are times where he doesn't know where he is supposed to be. So hopefully those moments will decrease as the season goes on. And I think that's going to be one of the little interesting side stories, is how this bench, you know, figures it out, how, you know, who gets the minutes and so forth. But, I mean, you look at like a guy like Omri Caspi, who's been a player in the league for a long time and definitely has some skills, and he's fighting for minutes. You know, you got David West, you've got Jordan Bell, you've got McCaw, you've got Sean Livingston, who rested Saturday in Denver. I mean, it's unbelievable depth, and, oh, yeah, Andre Iguodala. So it's a nice problem to have. You know, that second unit, there's probably a pretty good starting five in there that can compete in the NBA.
We'll continue our Warriors conversation after this word from Toscalito Tire and Automotive.
You have to admit, collecting NBA titles is a new trend for the Warriors, but at Toscalito Tire and Automotive, they've been winning since 1971 with quality tires and reliable auto and light truck repair at 6 Bay Area locations near you. Toscalito Tire and Automotive will take care of you like family. After all, this is a family business started by two nice Italian boys, Ken Toscanini and Vince Ippolito, who combine their skills, knowledge, passion for cars, and their names to create Toscalito Tire and Automotive. With 4 Marin locations, plus the Marina in San Francisco and Vallejo, Toscalito, more than just a tire store.
You know, they're starting to get their defense going. And that, to me,
yes,
is the big key. I mean, that's what motivation is all about, isn't it? I mean, anybody can go out there sort of and play offense, and, you know, you always get motivated to shoot the basketball, but not to play defense. And I think you saw a concerted effort. You're especially seeing a lot more block shots. I mean, you know, Kevin Durant, it seems like he's stepped that up, where he's going to go out and block some more shots and be more of a rim protector.
That was one of my favorite moments in the San Antonio game, by the way, was Clay blocking LaMarcus Aldridge, and his reaction and the bench reaction to his reaction.
Right.
That Steph pointed out later. That, I don't know if that was my favorite moment or Kerr getting the technical. Both were pretty good entertainment. But Durant, I mean, he's going to be on the all-defensive team, and he very well could do it. He's really stepped up as a two-way player and is – gone to the very top shelf of talent in the NBA. But yeah, they know it intellectually that it all starts with the defense. They know that. It's just hard sometimes physically to do that. I mean, it's a matter of effort. It's under your control, but you're trying to pace yourself throughout the season. So there's going to be some times where they let off the pedal. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, I think, for example, in the San Antonio game where they played awfully, and then they had a little run at the end of the half, they're down by five. They know what they need to do at that point, and they just locked them down in the second half. And again, the Spurs were without Kawhi. They're without Tony Parker, but still very impressive to hold them to 37 points. And, you know, that's indicative of the kind of effort they're capable of. And it's nice to remind them once in a while that, yeah, you do the right things, that's going to be the result. And so it's a pretty scary thing. And then you add to that the fact that they're playing offense at levels of efficiency that even the Warriors haven't seen. That the start of the season, they're shooting 52% as a team.
It's ridiculous.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. You know, and a team that shoots a lot of threes on top of that. So this is going to be another of the storylines. We may be looking at a historically good offensive team, even more so than the Warriors teams we've seen in the past few years.
You know, there is a lot made of other teams playing the Warriors and acting like it's a playoff game. And I think that's true. And, you know, you're going to continue to see that. Miami coming in, that'll be the case. And I think with the Minnesota game coming up on Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
They are really geared up to beat the Warriors because they, you know, they've shown that they can play the Warriors well. They've got these young players. You know, Karl Anthony Towns is a, you know, pretty much a star in the making. And they're off to a good start. I mean, they're probably pretty confident coming into that game on Wednesday at Oracle.
Yeah, their first five-game winning streak in, what, 6 years? They haven't been four games over 500 in a decade. How about that?
Yeah.
That's a scary little stat there. But this is a team that's on the rise. It's going to be a challenge to the Warriors. Everybody talked about it after the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, you know, how interesting this team is going to be with that mix of talent. And Karl Anthony Towns leading the way. And I'll give you a little multiple-choice question here. And this is not an easy multiple-choice, but the most exciting young player in the NBA right now, is it Kristaps Porzingis, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Anthony Davis, or Karl Anthony Towns?
I'd go with Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah?
Well, who would you go with out of that group?
Probably I'd go with Antetokounmpo, but, I mean, you really can't go wrong here, can you?
No, yeah, Antetokounmpo's like, you know, he's really going to be a superstar. But I don't know why. I've liked Towns ever since I watched him in college. I kind of like his personality a little bit, so I'm going with him.
All right, yeah, that's there's a lot to recommend him for sure. And this is a team that's going to be in the playoffs this year. They're going to be a tough out, and I don't think they're going to have much back down against the Warriors. That's going to be some fun basketball on Wednesday, and that'll be the kind of game that will get the Warriors' full attention as well.
They've got some shooters, too. I mean, you know, Wiggins, mm-hmm. They've got Jeff Teague, they've got Jamal Crawford. All these guys love to shoot the basketball.
Well, that was a weakness of theirs, right? They weren't great at three-point shooting until this year, so they've kind of addressed that. They've added defensive presence and, you know, terrific all-around player in Jimmy Butler. I mean, they are a real threat. And you look at Houston, you look at San Antonio. Clippers got off to a good start, but I think they're going to kind of be in the middle of the pack when all is said and done. And, of course, Oklahoma City. But, man, Minnesota, to me, is the team to watch over the next few years.
No doubt. All right, Ray, well, it's been fun talking to Mike Breen today, and looking forward to a big week for the Warriors. And then, you know, we'll see if they can keep this going like we're sort of predicting.
It's only November, Joe.
I know, yeah. Didn't Steve Kerr say something like, "For I guess that Clippers game was sort of, he acted like that was opening night or something like that.
Yeah. we're just getting started, first week of November, and we've already, you know, gone through, what, 10 games. There's a lot of entertainment to come, though.
All right, Ray, thanks a lot. I appreciate it, and we'll talk next week.
You bet.
Thanks for listening to the Dubs OT Warriors podcast. Join Joe Castellano and Ray Woodson again next week on thesportsvirus.com.